If you've been here on Wednesday nights, you've heard, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians quite a bit. One of the verses we didn't really pause much on is found in chapter 2 and verse 18. And I want to read that verse tonight. I'm going to preach a message entitled, Three Ways Satan Hinders the Christian. Three Ways Satan Hinders the Christian. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read down, starting in verse 17, and then down to the end of the chapter. Special attention, please, to verse 18. But we'll begin in verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What a statement. Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would please help us, dear God, as we have a little bit of an insight tonight, an understanding of the work of the devil and his determination to just frustrate us as Christians. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that when those times happen, we'll understand what's going on and who's behind it, and that, Lord, you would give us, please, wisdom to have a biblical response to these times. Lord, I know the devil doesn't like what's going on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're rejoicing over a wonderful Sunday morning. He's mad and already plotting and planning how he can hinder the work of this church, dear God, and the individuals that attend here. So may we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And Lord, dear God, may we understand our enemy and understand how he works. And dear God, I pray that you would help us to learn to have patience and then, dear God, to expect victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Shortly after we left the Chicagoland area from our time of training up there in that part of the country, I had, by the time I went there till when I left there, it was just about 8 years. And so I spent 8 years living in the northwest corner of Indiana and driving in at least once a day, most days, into the Chicagoland area. And you begin to adapt to certain things, adapt to ways of life up there. And one of the things that you learn to adapt to very quickly, if you want to live, and that's to adapt to how they drive up there. All right. And it's just a whole nother world. It's not rural Indiana. And it seems like everybody believes that they should have been a NASCAR driver. And everything seems to be a race. And there's times when you think to yourself, I know I'm not going the speed limit, but if I slow down, I'll be killed. And, you know, you just kind of learn to drive with the flow and how things work. For instance, to pull out in front of somebody here would be considered very rude. Up there, actually, it's you get 3 points. And so, I mean, people will look right at you, see you coming, smile, and pull out in front of you. And there's a lot of horns that are used and other things that go on that we... And it just seems to be the normal interaction of how people transport themselves from one place to another. And so you learn to kind of, you know, when you need to go, you better go. And if somebody else goes, you better know where the brake is and all of those things. Now, I lived up there for 8 years and kind of fell into that habit of driving, that way of driving. And everybody's going 100 miles an hour and everybody's in a hurry and that's just the way it is. And then I moved back to rural Indiana and we started a church in Brazil. And we lived there about 6 months and I've been knocking on doors and inviting people to church. And I knock on this lady's door and she comes to the door and I said, hello, my name's Pastor Jerry. And she said, I know who you are. And I said, oh, okay. Have we met? Well, kind of. I said, where have we met? She said, on the road. And I said, we met on the road? And she said, yeah, you're that young preacher that drives like a maniac around here. And a still small voice said to me, "Mr. Ross, you better consider your ways." And I literally had to make a mental effort to realize I wasn't in Chicago anymore. There was no need to fly around and cut people off and go crazy and blow my horn. You blow your horn at somebody here, they pull off the side of the road. You know, they figure you need by. But up there, you know, it's a whole different world. But I don't know if I've ever quite gotten all of it out of me. Like when we drive around the Chicagoland area like we did this weekend, and I go back into that flow, there's just a part of you that goes, "Oh yeah, here we go." And I can slip quite easily into that NASCAR mentality that you have to have, demolition derby mentality you have to have just to get from one side of Chicago to the other. But there are times when I'm in the area around here, and I think one of the things that the Lord uses in my life to teach me patience is there with the Indiana roads, and especially if you go anywhere that direction over in Greentucky, that side where everything curves, and if you get behind somebody, you're going to be there for, you know, 20 miles, is there's nothing to me still that probably works on me more than just getting behind somebody that seems to be determined to go as slow as they possibly can until there's a short area for. Now, listen, if you're going to be a slow driver, then be a slow driver. But if there's just one or two opportunities and a short one, why is it that they go especially slow until you get to a passing zone and then they speed up? And then as soon as they go past that yellow triangle sign, they slow back down again. So anyway, you're trying to, and by the way, that word hindered, I want to read this to you because that's what I think of. The devil he gets in my way and slows down and he hinders me. I'm trying to get somewhere and he's hindering me. That the word actually means to cut into or to cut off, to impede, to detain, to hinder. Watch this. Be tedious unto. I like the way that's phrased. Be tedious unto. Sometimes I get behind a tedious driver and it just seems like I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get something accomplished. I need to get to a certain place. And yet Satan finds a way of getting in front of me, putting something in front of me and just hindering my progress to where I want to go. Now, I want to share that with you because I think a lot of the frustration that we feel as Christians is a result of what the devil tries to do every day in our life as far as just getting in our way. Preacher, I want to grow in this area, but it seems like Satan hindered me. He keeps getting in my way, and I'm progressing, but I'm not progressing as fast as I wish I could. Preacher, I've been given a ministry here or something that I want to accomplish, and it seems like we get it going, and then it seems like there's hindrances that come. And it's so frustrating at times, you know. And by the way, point number one, Satan hinders those trying to serve the Lord. This is what Paul was trying to do in this portion of Scripture. He was just trying to serve God. He was just trying to get to all of the churches he needed to get to and follow up on all the Christians, new converts he needed to, and witness to the people he needed to. And he said, "Hey, I've been trying to get to y'all in Thessalonica for some time, but if Satan is impeding that, he's in the way of that. Every time I think I've got a little window where I can do it, something else comes up." And come on, we all feel that frustration at times. And I want to let you know this. That's why the Bible teaches us so much about the idea of patience. You have to run with patience the race that is set before you. Don't get discouraged and don't quit. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, you set off in your Christian life and you've got a goal and you've got a plan and you've got a desire to get somewhere and you've got a desire to be something. And it says, "Preacher, I get on there, and about the time I get onto the road that's going to lead there, the devil gets in front of me and slows down to 15 miles an hour and I get so frustrated, I just want to get off the road." Don't get off the road. Don't get off the road. Okay? Satan is going to hinder those that try to serve the Lord. I will tell you this because I know a lot of what goes on behind the scenes around here, and I can tell you this. I don't know the last time we've had a Sunday where something didn't go wrong. Listen, there's almost always in some ministry somewhere, and sometimes, especially during spring program time, it just seems like, you know, he's extra busy. And I promise you, there's bus captains that by the time they got to church this morning, you know, there was excitement because of what God did, but there was also some frustration because along the way, it seems like Satan had tried to hinder some things. And he's always going to do that. Listen, as we work for the Lord and as we try to serve the Lord and as we get involved in the different ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and roll up your sleeves, hey folks, and get busy, you have to understand that there has to come a certain amount of patience with that. Because a lot of the Christian life is, you know, three steps forward, one, two, three, and then a couple backward. And you seem like you just lost ground. And sometimes you seem like you have days where you lost more ground than you gained. But you know what? That's why Paul said this, I press toward the mark. I like that phrase, you know. He understands there's going to be some resistance. He understands it's not always going to be easy, that Satan is going to get in the way of things and try to hinder things in your life. And listen, don't get discouraged. But preacher, I there's an area of my life I'm battling in and I want to get victory over, and it just seems like, you know, I get on the right road and then something gets in my way, something slows me down, something makes me have to pull over, something detains me for a while or hinders me for a while. All right, pull over and deal with it. But then to put the turn signal back on and get right back up on the road. Because, folks, that's what the Christian life is going to be. Sunday school teachers, you want to see more advancement in some of your students' life than you see. And sometimes you see that little spark and you see that bit of excitement and you see a kid start to take off and they're going in a little bit. And then it seems like all of a sudden they cool off and back up a little. And bus workers, you deal with that a lot in trying to reach and disciple young people. Hey, listen, I know that's what he does. Expect it, but don't quit. Don't quit on that kid. Keep working with that young person. A preacher, they seem to be doing so well, and now they're not doing well. Then just hang in there. Now, listen, folks, I don't know about you, but my Christian life has not been like this. And on as far as from the time I got saved and growing in grace, it's not been like this. And I've never met a Christian where it has been. You know what it is? Our life, our Christian life is a bit of a roller coaster. And it seems like we'll be growing some, and then we'll face challenges. And it seems like we fight some things, and then we fight back up, and then it seems like we get to a place where we're slowed down again, and sometimes almost seem to stop, and then we go back. Listen, you just have to keep fighting, folks, and listen. I feel like I've been set back a little bit in my Christian life, preacher. It seems like there's just some areas that all of a sudden things seem to be going well, and things seem to be on track, and you know what? I had the thought. Well, wow, you know what? The Christian life's kind of, it's really not as hard as it used to be. And by the way, if you think that, don't ever say it out loud, all right? Because it seems like about the time you feel like you got, you know, the car going in the right direction at the right speed, and you're able to kind of look out the window, enjoy the trip a little bit, here comes the devil pulling out in front of you, and he's piddling along, and he's swerving around, and he's trying to frustrate you. And folks, that's the way that the devil works. Now listen, he's going to try to hinder you if you serve the Lord. Don't get discouraged by that. If you're trying to get something accomplished in your family, you're trying to get something accomplished in your marriage, or you're trying to get something accomplished in one of the lives of one of your young people, listen, I mean this, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Say, preacher, it seems like we were winning. Now it seems like we're losing again. Listen, welcome to life. Welcome to life. I mean, all of us struggle and all of us battle. And you know what? You have sometimes, it seems like, as many bad days as you have good days, and as many failures as you have victories. But the key is, don't give up. I don't want him to give the devil the satisfaction to win. And so, you know what? Sometimes he's going to put something in your way. And you know what? There's not a thing in the world. Listen, when I'm driving on some of these roads and somebody pulls in front of me and it's a certain type of road and a certain stretch of road, you know what? There's really nothing else I can do about it. Not a thing I can do about it. And so for a while, sometimes the Lord just allows you to kind of be stuck, it seems like, and you're going slower than you want to go, and you can't get around. And listen, if you're not careful, you start getting frustrated. I mean, folks, don't worry. Sooner or later, there's going to be that straightaway. All right, and just make sure nothing else is coming, and then mash the foot to the gas and get around that rascal and pull back in and be safe. But I'm going to tell you something, he can hinder, but he can't win. All right, he can slow us, but he can't stop us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. it seems like that the devil spends a lot of time hindering you. Let me be an encouragement to you tonight. Just say, hey, you're not the only one, I promise you. Just keep going for the Lord. Exercise and respond to hindrances with patience. Number two, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to move around the Bible a little bit tonight. I want you to look at the ways the devil works to hinder Christians. Three ways Satan hinders the Christian. Number one, Satan hinders those trying to serve God. Number two, Ephesians chapter number 6, Satan wrestles against the brethren. He wrestles against the brethren. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice it says here in verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now notice that the devil's always about slowing us down. He's always about trying to occupy us. The first thought is that he's hindering us, like driving on a road and trying to get to where we are trying to get to, and yet he gets in front of us, and for a while the Lord allows it for whatever reason, and we are going slower, and we're getting frustrated, and we're not getting our goal. Listen, patience, respond with patience. Number two, the devil wants to get you in a wrestling match. He wants to wrestle with you. And again, what you think about that. If somebody comes up in front of you and says, let's wrestle, and you really don't want to wrestle, but they insist on wrestling. Now, I don't know what you were trying to do or what you were trying to accomplish, but if somebody decides they're going to wrestle with you and they engage you in a wrestling match, you really don't have much of a choice but to wrestle. And if you think about this, it wasn't that he was going to try to get them in a boxing match. It wasn't he was trying to get them in a shootout. You know what? The devil doesn't want a quick battle. He doesn't want to occupy you for a couple seconds. He doesn't want to risk a knockout punch. You know what he does? He gets you in a wrestling match. Now, folks, think about that. You can't, when you're wrestling, you guys wrestle sometimes, all right? When you're wrestling, Nick and Noah, when you guys are in your room, tearing the room up, wrestling around, I promise you, you're not working on homework at the same time. All right? When you're wrestling around, you're not memorizing Philippians at that time. All right, when you're wrestling around, you know what you're doing? You're fully engaged wrestling around. And you know, that's what the devil wants to do, is he wants to get us engaged in a conflict with him in such a way where it saps our strength. And by the way, if you've never wrestled, I'm telling you, I don't know if there's anything that saps the strength of an individual like getting in a wrestling match. It takes all of your focus. It takes all of your might. It takes all of your strength. And you wear out pretty, and that's what the devil wants to do. So he's going to watch this. We don't wrestle physically with him, but a lot of times we wrestle spiritually with him. And now help me, and I don't think I'm alone on this, but a lot of times he gets me in a mental wrestling match. It just seems like I'm trying to get something done, and I'm trying to accomplish something for the Lord. I'm trying to put my focus on it, and he'll bring something into my mind that just literally causes me to wrestle with something in such a way where it occupies my mind, my spirit, my strength. Watch this, come on. Sometimes a half day later, I'm still engaged in this mental wrestling match with the devil. I haven't had a good thought. I haven't had a productive thought. I haven't had a selfless thought. I mean, you know what? It's like, and I let him do that, and I'm old enough to know better, but I let him do that. And then at some point, thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit of God. You know, when they used to have wrestling matches back in the day when they had real wrestling, like with Dick the Bruiser and Andre the Giant and all of these legitimate wrestlers, you know. But sometimes they'd do tag team wrestling, you know, where one guy's getting beat, but if he could get over the corner and tap his partner. Listen, folks, there's a Holy Spirit of God that's our wrestling partner, all right? And you know, it's not really my job to wrestle with the devil. I mean, the Bible says that the archangel did not try to contend with the devil, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. I mean, archangels have enough sense not to get in a wrestling match with the devil. And so what I'm doing is I'm engaged and I'm wrestling with something that I don't have the strength to deal with, and I don't have the wherewithal to deal with, and it's sapping me spiritually and sapping me mentally. And you know what I need to do? I just need to reach over and tag the Lord and say, Lord, listen to me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I can't deal with this. And so God, casting all my cares upon you, for you care for me, I'm bringing this to you. Hey, here, take over. Fight this for me today. Take over, Lord, and step up and fight this for me today. And it's amazing when we tap out, if you'll let me say, when we just let the Lord come in and finish the battle for us, all of a sudden there's a freedom that comes with that, and there's an ability to focus, and there's ability to concentrate again. So sometimes mentally we wrestle. Sometimes we wrestle spiritually. There is a great spiritual warfare. We wrestle against temptation, and guess who's behind the temptation? The devil. And if you're not careful, literally what he'll do is engage you in a wrestling match until you learn to go to the Lord and get the victory. And you think, good, that's done for the day. And 2 hours later, there's another wrestling match. He's always in front. Watch. He's always in front of the Christian saying this, want to wrestle? Want to wrestle? Now, what is the answer to this? Well, isn't it interesting that right after verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right after that thought, in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, folks, listen to me. Watch this. You know what? We're not supposed to get in a wrestling match with the devil. We're not supposed to get into, you know, he'll lure you into an argument. Have you ever had somebody just want to lure you into an argument? And no matter how you answered them, they came back with another stupid thing that you felt like was so stupid you had to answer back again. Because this is ridiculous and they're wrong and I need to fix them. And they keep, and no matter what answer you give, they come back with another argument that's even dumber than the last one. So what do? You feel like you have to fix that. Okay, what? You know what? The devil wants to get you into that kind of an argument with him in your mind all of the time. And after a while, you have, listen, watch this. Don't wrestle with the devil. Don't wrestle with the devil. You've got a weapon. Okay, listen, we're in a wrestling match with somebody that's trying to destroy us. And if we just break away long enough to reach down and pull the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I promise you the battle's over at that moment. Listen, he wants to wrestle. Say, I won't wrestle against you today, but I will a sword fight with you today. And you know what he'll say? I'm not interested. You know what? Hey, every time he gets into your mind and he gets into your thought pattern and he's got you in almost a full Nelson, a mental or spiritual full Nelson, reach in and pull the sword and stick him with it. And that's why memorizing the Bible is so important. And that's why spending time in devotions every morning is so important. And that's why Bible meditation, you know how your preacher promotes that. Because, folks, the promises, so many wonderful promises. Psalms chapter 1, listen, those promises about being that tree planted by the river of water and all of those things that come with that, they're not promised to somebody who reads the Bible or memorizes the Bible. It's promised to those who will meditate on the Bible. And listen, the way that I can break the grasp of Satan upon my mind is through the weapon of the Word of God. And so the devil's going to hinder us, those that are trying to serve him, and we need to respond to that with patience. Sometimes the devil just puts a roadblock in our way or gets in our way and slows something down, and I can't go as quick, I can't get as fast, I can't get it done today, I didn't reach my goal, and we get frustrated. Listen, sometimes we just need to exercise patience. And then sometimes he wants to get us in a wrestling match to sap our energy and sap our strength and discourage us. Don't get in a wrestling match with the devil. Pull the sword of the Spirit and start laying on the verses. Hey, come on, I want to help some of you. I mean, come on, this is more widespread than you understand. You'd be shocked how many of you fight discouragement and fight depression, and you think you're the only one at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that deals with that, and yet I guarantee you the majority of the people here fight that battle. And let me tell you what that is. That's the devil trying to get you into a wrestling match. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you a great recommendation here. Say, preacher, good night. There's days when I'm going to tell you what, I get into this dark place. I know all about that dark place, okay? Been there, done that, got it, okay? And I feel myself being dragged into a dark place, and preacher, I know if I go in there, it isn't going to be 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. I mean, I can be in there for days if I, listen, stop letting the devil grab you and drag you there. Listen, say, well, how do I stop it? I promise you, I'm giving you something right here that'll help you. I want to give you practical things. Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to get into the Word of God, and you need to look up verses about the devil, and you need to memorize verses about the devil and how other people handled. You know what Jesus said to the devil? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of the Lord. And you know what? Watch this. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't beat him, and I'm not strong enough not for him not to drag me in there, but I'm going to promise you, if I start bringing up the Word of God, both the living Word and the written Word, there's power in the written Word of God, and the devil can't stand up against it, and there's power in the living Word, Jesus Christ. There's power in his name. Listen, resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. I mean, memorize about 5 or 6 or 7 good devil hit the road verses. And just start spitting them out. Say, I know exactly what you're doing. This isn't about this person, that person, this circumstance. This isn't about any of that. It's about me and you trying to get me into a place where I can't be productive for the Lord and productive for the people that's in my life that need me. And I am not going to let you take me there. And you pull the sword of the Spirit and start letting him have it. Now, watch this. Once you do that and he's loosened his grip, get you 3 or 4 victory songs. Come on now. I promise you, just break out singing. You mean out loud? Yes, I mean out loud. I mean just sing away. When we were at the funeral of Jim Beller, one of the guys that got up and spoke and gave a testimony knew Brother Jim when he was studying for Bible college, and in Bible college studying for the ministry. And they worked at the same place that he worked. And he worked third shift, and he was back there as a machinist working on a certain machine. And the guy gave testimony that he said, in the middle of the night, while everybody's just busy and all the machinery's humming and working and things are going on, he said every once in a while you'd hear Brother Jim, and he'd break out into song. And when Brother Jim sang, he sang. And the whole factory would hear, and he's back there doing his work and just letting it rip and singing as loud as he could. And then he said he'd start preaching. And he'd start preaching to his machine, and he'd say, machine, you know what? You're not doing what you're supposed to. God rebuke you. We're not getting our work done today. And he'd start preaching, and half the people thought the man lost his mind, you know. But you know what? I think it's all right. Hey, the devil's real. Sometimes you ought to just say out loud, get behind me, Satan. We aren't doing this today. The Lord rebuke thee. Okay. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Resist the devil and he'll flee. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I start talking like that, people think I'm crazy. I don't care what people think. I don't want to go in that black room. I've wasted enough of my life in that dark place. Come on now. You know what? I know what it's at the end of that road. I don't want to be there. And I know that who's trying to take me there. We don't, by the way, folks, watch this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your problem's not another person. Your problem is that you think that your battle's with another person, and your real battle's with the devil. And because they've got you distracted on the other person, you're not rebuking the right person. You're not mad at the right person. And so what you've got to do is just say, hey, you know what? We aren't going to do this today, no? And then you sing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power. I mean, just sing blood songs, man. And that's another thing. The devil can't handle the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You go to quoting, and you go to claiming promises, and you go to rebuking, and you go to singing, and I promise you what the devil thought was going to be a wrestling match that was going to last all day is over in a few minutes. You know why? Because you brought a sword to the fight. And so don't get in a wrestling match with the devil. Boy, he hinders us, doesn't he? He tries to hinder us. 3 ways Satan hinders the Christian. He hinders those trying to serve God. Satan wrestles against the brother. Now let's go, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. And I'll give you one more way. Number three, another way that the devil tries to hinder the Christian. Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower, and we're just going to look at one place that the seed fell upon, and we're going to learn something, just one thing, about the devil from this parable. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now that's as far as we'll go in the parable. Let's go over and get the interpretation of that. Verse number 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Who's the wicked one, folks? Yeah, that's the devil. So when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. How does the devil work on us? He hinders those of us that are trying to serve the Lord. He tries to engage brethren in a wrestling match so that we become unproductive and occupied and worn out and frustrated instead of getting the victory. And Satan will always seek to steal the word of God from the hearts of men. Again, folks, let me just tell you how he works so that you understand what's happening and when it's happening. You say, preacher, I'm getting on the victory side of having devotions every morning. By the way, good for you. Good for you. Keep it up. And I'm getting up in the morning, and I'm reading at least a chapter every morning. I'm reading my Bible every morning. But, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. The strangest thing happens. I got the time. I got the quiet. I got the place. I open the Bible. I start reading. I get about three verses. And the next thing I know, my eyes are clear at the end of the chapter, only somewhere along the way, my brain checked out. And I have scanned over pages of the Bible, chapters of the Bible, and then realize that my mind has been a million miles away. Now, to me, that is an incredible phenomenon. It's not like we stop. Watch this. Think about it a minute. You think that if your brain changed, now think about this. You think if your brain changed and went from looking at the verses and to a whole different thought, that you would stop at that point and cease at that point in your reading. Now think. I mean, this is crazy. And I'll be honest with you, it happens when I read the Bible, and it doesn't happen much when I'm reading anything else. So what happened? Think about this. When you study this thing, I thought about this a while back, and I'm like, I'm still looking at every word and moving my way meticulously through a page or two of the Bible, and with no mental absorbing of anything, that no comprehension of anything. And all of a sudden I stop and I think to myself, well, wait a minute, good night. I just finished that whole chapter, and all I remember is like the first, have you gone back and looked at where you lost it? You can find it. You're like, yeah, I remember reading that, and then that's crazy. You know what? That's the devil. That's the devil. I mean, you know what? He's going to work harder on your brain while you're trying to read the Bible than he is when you're trying to do anything else in the world. He wants to do whatever he can to snatch those thoughts and those words from your mind. He doesn't want them to seek in. He don't want you. And you know what? What happens a lot of times? Come on. Is sometimes we're just like, oh, I just can't read it today. I just can't read it today. He just won. Don't let him win. Come on, I've done that before. I've got frustrated and said, I don't know what's wrong with me. At least I got three verses, I guess, you know. No, wait a minute. When you realize that that's happening, what we need to stop and think about is, why did the devil work so hard at this moment while I'm reading this chapter to steal my mind like that? Folks, I'm telling you, that's demonic. That's crazy stuff. You know what? You can shut the Bible in frustration and say, well, I just can't. Or you can say, you know what? There's something in this chapter. He did not want me to see today. And then watch this. You bow your head and get God. You know, hey, folks, we can't beat him on our own. I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that you've got a chance, you don't have a chance against the devil. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. We have Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying and making intercession for us. And we have a Father in heaven that loves us. And you know what? All three of them ready to go busy at work at our beckoning call. Thank God for that. Here they come to the rescue. And so you bow your head and say, Lord, I'm losing the battle today. I'm just losing the battle. I know the devil's doing this. Please, dear God, help me defeat him in my life right now. Don't let him distract me. There's something he does not want me to see. Holy Spirit, have you done that before? Went back and made about 6 verses? It's crazy. Again, say, how do you win that battle? I think reading the Bible out loud is a good way to read the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Helps you keep your own attention. Plus, I don't think the devil likes hearing it. He tends to back away when the Bible's being read. Read it out loud. You know what? Sometimes I'll read one verse 3 or 4 times. You know what? Just to make sure. I mean, out loud. Just read it. Go back and read it. Go back and read it. Go back. You know, I'm looking for what the devil didn't want me to see. And I go back to the next verse and I'll read it. And I promise you, I've never done that where somewhere in that chapter I went, aha, that's what you didn't want me to think about today. That's what you didn't want me to be reminded of today. That's going to give me victory today. And sometimes, be honest, sometimes I get all the way down through it and said, I don't know what he was trying to get me to learn or see, but watch this. Sometime during that day, one of those verses that I didn't understand what was so significant, something happens and boom, it pops in my mind and I am able to get victory over something that I would not have if the devil had to cast his little spell on me. It's the same with preaching. You say, all right, preacher's going to preach, 40, 45 minutes tonight. And so what I'm going to do for the first time in the history of my life, I'm going to give my full concentration from the time he starts reading to the end of it. And we plug in and we lock in and we do all that. And all of a sudden he says point number 2 and we wake up. Point number 2. What happened to point number 1? And you realize that I'm not talking about you're trying to go somewhere. Now some of you go on these little mental vacations and that's all right. I understand, whatever you need to do. But sometimes we plan a vacation and sometimes the devil takes us on vacation. But I don't mean we planned on doing it. I mean we opened our Bible and we focused in and we said, you know what, God's got something for me tonight and I'm not going to miss it. And a lot of times, folks, watch this. Where we get distracted or where we lose focus is exactly what we needed in our life to give us victory in some area. And I mean this. If I lost it and zoned out during a good part of a message, I'd go back and see Brother Klein and say, hey, I need to get that on CD. I need to get that. Or I'd go on the website and listen next couple days and say, I'll just listen to that part of the message. I promise you, there's something right there. Folks, listen to it. The devil, you know what? The ravens of hell, I think, they hover around like vultures over Christians. And anytime the word of God is sown in some way in our hearts, here they come down trying to snatch it. They don't want it to take root. They don't want it to bear fruit. And we have to understand that is what the devil does and that is how he works. And so how does the devil work against the Christian? How does he hinder them? He hinders those that are trying to serve the Lord by just getting in their way and detaining them and impeding their progress and cutting them off and hindering them in some way, trying to get us so frustrated that we'll quit. Hey, just exercise patience. He tries to get us in a wrestling match, spiritually or mentally, pull the sword out. I mean, claim the name of Jesus, sing some victory songs and go right back to work and don't let him win. Or he seeks to steal the word of God from our hearts. And again, don't let him win. You say, preacher, how can I help myself when it comes to preaching? I'm going to tell you something. I've just learned a few things over the years. I set different during the preaching part of a church service if I'm sitting than I do during the singing part. You know what? I kind of get on my edge of my seat a little bit. I'll be honest with you. I don't try to sit very comfortably during preaching. Because, you know what, I'm like y'all. I work a lot of hours, and if I get too comfortable, I position myself physically. Physically, I'll position myself on the pew in such a way where it keeps me at a higher alert status. I believe you ought to have an ink pen or a pencil and a scrap piece of paper or back of a bulletin somewhere just handy. Because, you know what, I preach a lot of things and I've taught a lot of things. And hey, you know what, if it's Bible, it's all good. But there's going to be something almost in every message. And it may be just one phrase or one sentence where it's like, boom. And you just jot that thought down. And you know what, the devil wants to snatch it out of your heart. You ever had it? I mean, the worst thing any Christian can be asked on a Wednesday night is, what'd your preacher preach Sunday morning? And you're like, it was good. Man, it was good. It helped me. It was something. Something. Now, you know what? I'd get upset about that, except if you asked me what I preached last Sunday morning, I'd go, Jesus. I preached Jesus, brother. Jesus, you know. I mean, you think about it. You can have 10 conversations during the week, and if somebody said, did you talk to so-and-so this week, you'll say, oh, yeah, and you can almost retell them the entire conversation. Come on now. Don't tell me that the devil's not doing something here. Okay, you have all these little encounters and you listen and everything else, and the boss pulls you in for a meeting and he goes over things and what was the meeting about? You can pretty much outline what the meeting about. And you sit in a church service, and isn't it interesting how the devil goes into full mode as far as trying to distract us and keep it from getting into our heart? And so just jot it down. I think just making yourself physically, sit physically in such a way where you don't get too relaxed mentally. I think you ought to pray before you hear them. You've heard me teach this, but I think one of the most important things is when the preacher reads the verses and bows his head and says, let's pray. And I think you ought to say, dear Holy Spirit of God, please, there's something here. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to miss it. God, please speak to my heart. And I always say this, make the Holy Spirit a promise during that prayer. If you'll speak to me, I'll listen. If you tell me to do something, I'll do it. If you tell me to change something, I think you ought to just go ahead and surrender before you know what you're surrendering to. Whatever the Holy Spirit, whatever you have for me tonight, whatever you impress, whatever you use the word of God to deal with me in my life, I promise you, you're not going to have to fight me. You already have the victory. Just speak to my heart. I want to be usable. I want to be moldable. Please deal with me tonight. You go into it with that kind of a heart, and then you get you a pencil, and you get ready to mark some things down. I think talking about a message does something, okay? I don't think every conversation all the way home, parents, has to be about, okay, let's go through every. But I think that it'd be good every once in a while to get in the car and say, hey, kids, before we get to talk about everything else, there was one thing Pastor said tonight that really touched my heart. And let's talk about it for a minute. Why don't we have conversations like that? Why do we, watch this, here's an interesting thought. Why do we feel so awkward to have a conversation like that? I'll tell you why, because there's something that's resisting that. There's something or someone that's putting thoughts in our mind that's almost abnormal to talk like that. What are the kids going to think? What's my wife going to think if I actually say out loud, folks, listen to me. You know what your wife's going to think is, wow, this is a blessing. Wow, this is good for us. It's good for our family. You know what the kids are going to think? They're going to think, we already heard that once. Now we're going to hear it again on the way home. But that's all right, because sometimes they need to hear it again on the way home. All right, it's all right. And after the first couple times, you know what they're going to figure out? This is good. And you know what? Sometimes fathers, I think as fathers, honestly, I think, hey, God put you as leader at the house. And sometimes the thing that God impresses strongly in your life during a message, he'll use you as the leader of home to reiterate to your family, because you know your family better than I know your family, and you know their needs better than I know. And I don't mean this, folks. Listen, I really mean this. I'm not talking about turning the ride home into a ball out session. You know why a lot of kids hated growing up having family devotions? Because they just ended up being an excuse to use a Bible verse and then chewing everybody out. And I think the Bible, listen, there's times when you have to deal with things. I get that. But you know what? The Bible, much of it is designed to be positive and encouraging and giving us ways to learn to be victorious, not to tear us down, but to build us up in Christ. And so I think that There's ways that we can maximize what the Lord's trying to do through the preaching and of his word, through the reading of his word, and that's what the devil does. Now, I've got to show you one more verse. Say, preacher, it seems like I live my life hindered by the devil and frustrated by the devil. And is there a light at the end of the tunnel? I want you to turn to this. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I read this verse at the beginning of this week, and I claimed it and asked God to give us a little bit of a taste of it today. Romans chapter number 16. Yes, the Satan is going to hinder you. If you try to serve the Lord, he's going to hinder you. If you're trying to serve the Lord and work for him, he's going to try to constantly get you in a wrestling match and drag you off into some dark place and keep you tied up there. Satan is going to try to fight against you learning the word of God, and he'll try to do everything he can to steal the word of God. Hey, preacher, come on, isn't there a revenge day? Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. I want to just read these verses to you. I think they'll encourage you. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. It's talking about all these things that wrestle against us. Verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now here's the promise. Look at verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And you know what, folks? Let me tell you something. We're going to spend our lives hindered by the devil. We're going to spend our lives afflicted at times by the devil. We're going to spend our lives in wrestling matches with the devil that we shouldn't have got into, but we forget how to not do it. We're going to spend our lives sometimes trying to learn the word of God and fight to stay focused on the things that matter, and it just seems like it's a fight, it's a fight, it's a fight, it's a fight. Preacher, I can't seem to win it. Well, one of these days we're going to win it, because the Bible gives us this promise, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And one of these days, God's going to cut the devil down to size. And you know what? I'm not sure there's not going to be a big heavenly parade of the saints of God walking right over the carcass of that old devil before they throw him into the pit. And the one who spent his life frustrating us and hindering us and hurting us and stealing things that are precious from us, you know what? I think there's going to be one big heavenly parade where the devil, well, I mean, God, get him down, because you're the only one, and chain him up, and then there may just be a parade where it says, all the saints of God, you know what, just go ahead and tread on the devil. Just go ahead and tread right over the top of the devil. Just go ahead and put him under your feet, bruise him under your feet. And then after that big parade's over, I think maybe the Lord just chuck him into the lake of fire. We won't have to worry about him anymore. What a day that will be, amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us with the thought, dear God, that there is a victory day. There's a day when we'll get to heaven and all of these battles and all of this frustration that we feel and all of the hindrances that are constantly seem to come between us and you and what we want to be and what we want to do for you. Lord, thank God for the promise that one of these days, the victory will be won. But Lord, we sung about the sweet by and by, but we're living right now in the nasty now. And so, Lord, we need your help. Don't let us let the devil win. Don't let us give him the victory, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd give us the patience that we need, because sometimes there's not a thing we can do about it except just say, Lord, give me patience and to help me to get around this obstacle as soon as I can. And Lord, when we're tempted to get into these emotional and mental and spiritual wrestling matches with the devil where he just ties us up and pins us, dear God, I pray that we'll say, no, we're not doing that. Well, we've got the sweet Holy Spirit. We have a Savior on the right throne interceding for us. We have a Father that loves us. And devil, I'm not going to wrestle with you today. I'm not going to do it. Give us the verses, dear God. May we use the word of God Lord, may we resist the devil. Give us the victory songs, Lord, so we can get back to doing what we need to do. And then, Lord, help us as we read every day your word and try to focus on learning from it what we need to so we can grow in grace. I pray, Lord, that you wouldn't let the devil snatch those things from our heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's